I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I have a parrot on my shoulder today.
A tiny pug.
A tiny pug parrot.
He goes, get to work, gay.
Get to work.
Start podcasting.
We were just talking about Lara's obsession to fight. Defiant disorder.
Oh, my ODD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Carrie diagnosed me
on tour
with oppositional defiant disorder, and I have to say you're not wrong.
It was mostly in jest. It was on our way over to a venue, and I
but in every joke there's a sliver of truth.
Yeah,
and my truth is I really don't like being told what to do, and I will likely do a little bit of my own thing.
I'm mispunctual. I'm like, literally, like, give me a command and I'll do it.
Yeah, you're.
It was taught.
You loved an early show up, which with my oppositional defiant disorder activates me in such a way.
You were activated in Philly when
I was
activated. And mind you, it was raining. We'd had 2 days. It'd been sort of on like a glacial moseying pace. So we were both kind of like, you know, on like vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we were told, be there at this certain time, Lara went,
My ODD kicked in.
And I was waiting in the lobby of the Marriott.
TikTok.
Get my watch. Sitting like Bella Hadid. That was me in the lobby waiting for Lara.
But we made it.
We did.
It was just an earlier sound check than we thought. And I like have a lot of steps that I have to go through in order to get ready for stuff.
You're like miss things.
I have.
You do. You have a lot more things. Like you have.
I have hair and I have makeup.
Honey, I know.
Adds a whole hour. Like
I understand the plight of it does not take me as much time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I love to judge. I love a good concealer moment.
You have no idea.
I have no idea about hair.
Imagine my hair literally is like 100. It is like 100 times longer than your hair. What would be a funny movie is if you woke up one day and your hair was this long.
I woke up
one day and my hair was like your hair.
I would positively love it.
I would love to see what you do with
it. I would make it like kind of that 90s Skeet Ulrich hair.
This long?
No, I would cut it and make it like...
As soon as you cut it, it grows back.
Well,
you have to
it.
Deal with it this long. Yeah, we can see how long...
Stop.
Tony.
But anyway, we were just having a little giggle.
We're having a giggle over my ODD.
We're having a giggle about a lot of things this week.
Yeah,
we had a giggle
cackling.
The other day. We had... Guys, sup? Listen, Laura and I were at war. You want to go to war with me?
You trying to start a fucking war?
We went to war with...
Someone did try and start a war with us, and I woke up that day and said, I'm looking for drama today.
Laura texted me and was like, after we went on the attack, I'll say, the offensive.
The offensive.
Laura was like, I woke up today wanting to start some shit.
Yeah, I'm looking for drama this week. I think I'm like PMSing. The beat could drop literally any second, and when it gets closer and closer to P-Town, I go into drama mode, mm-hmm. and I'm just looking for a little conflict. And like,
well,
this
just...
provided, honestly, but it actually didn't provide this person never actually engaged with me.
No, it was, which is like, did we win or did we lose?
Well, so for the full backstory, for those of you that aren't followers of social media,
It's giving
drama. It's giving war. It's giving this fucking bitch it's trying to start a war. No, so this like Instagram account that I won't say actually the name of because I don't want this account to get more followers, but I'm sure you can find out.
They have a lot.
They have a lot of followers.
They have like 50 times more than
us. It's like one of those Bravo accounts that just exists to talk about Bravo news and repost Bravo news. And that's a special kind of vibe. And it's not my vibe.
Not
but
my
like,
vibe.
Go off, queen. You literally have like 216,000 followers. So I guess you're doing something right. But Carrie alerted me to the fact Tony's just like eating a CB2 pillow.
I was alerted by a loyal listener.
Yeah.
Who tipped me off, and then I promptly tipped Miss ODD off, and I went, Lars,
don't make me cry.
We've got a crisis.
He texted me a photo of this account who had done this series of stories. It was like, after 2 years, I've decided that I'm going to turn my favorite Bravo quote of all time, she's starting, into merch. This has been a long time coming, like this whole thing.
Yeah.
And then only to be selling pretty much like carbon copy, she's starting merch.
Long sleeve tees. I mean, there were some.
The font was really similar even on some of them. And then the other font was bone chillingly hideous.
But did she have hats? I forgot.
I don't know. I didn't look at her store.
Yeah, there were some merch was very, chin scratching, like seems heavily inspired. And look, Laura and I both said this. Obviously, Miss Luann, the Countess, is the one who came up with this quote.
Yeah.
It's not like we have intellectual... Someone messaged me and was like, well, you don't have intellectual property over this. And I was like, yeah
bitch,
I fucking know
that. Like, I know that. Clearly, we're not dumb. We're in the entertainment industry. You think I don't know what IP is?
I get it. Like, yeah. It's not... We're not claiming that we have... It's just... We did... We did get She's Starting kind of going.
Yeah.
We did.
You were saying it.
I was saying
it. I saw it and Laura, I said, this would make really good merch and I'm going to make this merch. And
so
then
anything, we owe it to Ms. Luann.
Ms. Delisip.
But that's about it. And Ms. Dorinda. But so it felt kind of like, yeah, it's technically like anyone's game, but it did feel like a little too reminiscent, especially because we've had the merch out for a year and it's like, and people were messaging my friends even who aren't even like who are just in it to support me. They were like, yeah, that's really shitty.
It's fucking weird.
And so,
it's also like if I was that person, I can't imagine how sad my life would be to begin with. But if I was that person or if I ever like did something that turned out, if I truly didn't know and then found out that someone had the exact same thing and they had started it before, the right thing to do is to just take it offline or shut it down or come up with a new idea. Like,
or
you don't just double down and do it anyways. That's shitty.
Or like post about, I would be like, oh my God, like I have to give credit to like, I didn't realize that they had done this, but like good on them. Like,
and like link to
we're
their
all
shit.
Starting.
Yeah.
And like link to our shit. Maybe get us some fucking new followers. But I guess someone, and I'm very like sensitive about like bullying online. Like I never want people to be like, and we've said this before, like don't swarm this person, don't like troll them. I never want to do that. But it was a little like I had to say something because
you went in, but then I was like, I'm tagging this person. Like I don't give a rat's ass.
We are in Brooklyn trying to survive in this fucking economy, and like we're we're doing it. We're very DIY over here. And Ms. Thing with, you know, Ms. Person, I won't say her name. She has a quarter of a million followers for whatever the fuck she's doing. I guess she's just posting memes.
Yeah,
like
those people are down to clown with whatever you do. It doesn't matter if you do a she's starting or if you like do something else. The chances are you're going to make sales no matter what. So why not just do something original and not that like doesn't bite off someone else's thing?
Well, here's the kicker. So someone messaged me. Someone had messaged her being like, hey, the Sexy Unique podcast basically did this like last year. And this person wrote back, oh, never heard of them. They did this?
Lies.
And then we found out that apparently this person has posted my tweets before on her story, which is like, you know what? Maybe she just didn't know that I had that I was involved. Like, I could see it. Like, I'm not expecting anyone to know who the fuck I am. But like, if you're posting for my Twitter, I don't know, whatever. But it just made me kind of like,
There's
anyway,
a chance that maybe
she didn't know.
She didn't know.
Which is totally believable. And like, if that's the case, like, whatever.
Yeah. But also, once you find out, I mean, I just personally, if I was in this person's shoes, would be embarrassed and then be trying to make it right because.
Not a word, not a peep.
Not a beep.
So, you know what? In closing,
have fun with fuck you.
In closing, great hair and nice bag.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
And if you want to post my tweets, link to me next time.
Yeah, make it right and link.
Link to me.
Make it right and link, and I take everything back. Link to the merch.
Yeah, but also link to my tweets. Anyway, but the real story I want to talk about today is two things.
Mm-hmm.
I've started watching Naked and Afraid, and it's...
Welcome. It is so good.
Simon was, like, obsessed with it, and he got me on it, and I've been watching it, and it's incredible.
Yeah, it's one of the best shows ever.
I had no idea. Like, I knew it was always sort of bouncing in the background, but I was like, I don't want to deal with this.
No, it is so good.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not as harrowing as Alone in many ways, but it's more harrowing.
Yeah, because you're literally naked.
I know, but like they have like a crew with them. So it's like they're...
Yeah, but you're then naked in front of a crew. Naked and Afraid truly is like...
It's wild
my
to me.
Absolute hell.
And like...
The bug bites.
Oh, the bug bites, the...
I could not survive. The bug bites, swamp foot, diarrhea, wiping with leaves.
There was an episode last night that almost made me throw up where these two people are... One of them, I'm sorry, she looked like J. Diaz. She had like, I was like, this person is Che Diaz. And she identified as she, so I'm not.
Did she have the hair?
She had the full hair.
And... That's smart. On Naked and Afraid, it's better to have short hair because you don't
gorgeous,
have to like fuck with it.
But I was like, and this person identifies as she, so I'm not misgendering anyone. But she said they were in the Ecuadorian jungle, and the guy she was with was, I wanted to punch him in the face. He was so condescending to her and like know it all and just fucking annoying. And they cuddled one night because it was so cold.
I know. And then you have to cuddle with like a naked person that you fucking hate.
And she said like the next day, like, I felt his boner on me. And I was like, and she's like, and it made me feel a little uncomfortable. And I was like, damn.
It would be hard. Because can't you not control your boner sometimes?
And a lot of times boners...
They just happen. They don't necessarily mean anything.
No, and they just happen like in your sleep sometimes.
And like nervous sometimes.
No,
right?
And she wasn't like he me too'd me, but she was like, damn, it's
real
out
here. I just
wouldn't
want to feel someone's boner that I hated on my back while I was naked and afraid.
Anyway, but they're in the Ecuadorian jungle rainforest, and I think it's like monsoon season or whatever. And there's just no dryness. They never started a fire once. They had to leave early because they were just starving. And it was so wet and she had the ferro rod, but it just never worked.
Oh my God.
And she got swamp foot, which was, I've never.
That's like gangrene almost, right?
She was on her way to getting gangrene, the medic said. But it was, they showed the bottom, the soles of her feet.
Oh my God, that's so sick. I can't.
And the guy had to like pick stuff out of them. And it was, I've never seen feet that gnarly before. I felt terrible. But
that's
it
like
was...
when you walk around in sandals in New York. You're literally in a place of swamp foot.
I'm from the Mall of America.
The Mall of America?
Every guy had...
Swamp foot?
Flip-flops on.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the streets of New York.
Oh, yeah.
Like the grime in a city.
Garbage juice everywhere.
Yeah, like that's the same. It's
There's
urban
some swamp foot going on out there.
Yeah.
WeHo. But it was, and then he got an infection on his finger because his blade. And they just squeeze the pus. It's a crazy fucking show.
Yeah.
And then
I love you discovering this show that's been around,
you know what,
for 20 years. A decade and being like, guys, you don't even understand.
Well, listen,
it's a crazy show.
I'm telling you, this is just my experience. But then they do Naked and Afraid XL, where they have a whole group. And they were in South Africa and they were in the bush and there's like 9 people. And there's this gay guy who's so hot who has a giant dick. You can tell. And he's like beloved. And then there's all the straight guys are all like pussies and like very fragile. And like the women are all really resilient. Mm-hmm. Not surprising. And there's this one horrifying night where they all eat fruit that's contaminated, like from a tree, and it tastes like ice cream. And they're like, oh my God, this is so good. And then they all get violently ill.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, I've never seen anything like it. They get transported to a medical tent and they're all under thermal like blankets, like space blankets. And it's the gay guy and these two women. And they're all just writhing and screaming in agony because they're just having horrific gastritis and diarrhea and just profusely vomiting. And they're all going, ah! It's like all in night vision. And I was like, I've never seen anything this terrifying on TV before.
My God.
And 3 of them had to go in like 24 hours. It's crazy fucking shit.
That's like Alone when someone killed a porcupine and then like ate the like infested meat anyways and was like, I guess I'm just gonna roll the dice on this one. I was like,
sick.
Whoa. I don't think she ended up getting sick. I think, but she was like, it's touch and go. Like, it was basically like, I'm really could be like fucking with myself by doing this.
But if you're that hungry, you must.
Yeah.
The craziest Alone moment was when the guy killed a wolverine and then held his decapitated head up.
Yeah, he was savage. Did he win that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that loner guy, the like Alaskan guy?
And he had like a mom that
he lived
with.
Like no family.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I mean, that's kind of how you gotta be.
You're killing a wolverine, you live with your mom.
You're fucking...
your mama lives upstairs.
Well, congratulations for discovering that show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The work system, from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. And I also wanted to talk about, really quick, John Hinckley Jr.
I, like, didn't even know who that was.
Okay, for anyone who doesn't know, John Hinckley Jr. is the man who shot President Reagan.
Mm-hmm. And tried a king of yours.
So, like,
no. We all know.
No. I mean, he was fucked up. He shot a few people. It was one of them. He debilitated someone for life. Like, it wasn't a good situation.
Why is he out of jail?
He just got out of, he was in like an asylum for 41 years.
And now he gets to just like get out.
But I guess, yeah, he's out. I guess he got cleared.
I don't think that you should be allowed to like get out if you
tried to kill the president.
Yeah. Tried to kill the president and then debilitated someone for life.
Also, I'm not like actually being like slay queen. It's just, Miss Reagan over here. But I guess he's been making music. He's been allowed to use social media like while in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. In hospital.
And he's been like,
he's on YouTube.
He's been doing music for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And before he even was released yesterday, he had scheduled 3 different concerts in like New York, Brooklyn, Connecticut. And they were all sold out. Like people were clamoring to see John Hinckley Jr.'s solo guitar concert.
Damn.
And all of them got canceled yesterday.
Why? Because the venues were like, you
the can't... venues were like, they're nervous about like
radicalized, like,
well, no, they're nervous about people coming to kill him and like hurting people for what he did to Reagan.
Oh wow.
So they're worried about like violence or an assassination attempt on him. But all of them are being canceled, and Julie Klausner tweeted, "Cancel culture is real." And it was just like, damn, not even him.
I'm sad for him.
Icon. Can you imagine, though?
Why would you even let those shows in the first place if you're like, I know who this person is?
Money?
Yeah, but you don't get the money if you cancel the shows, right?
Know. There was a high demand for him, I guess.
I love. He's over here trying to assassinate presidents, debilitating people for life, and then asylum for 40 years plus.
Literally
then selling out 3 shows. And we're out here.
We're out here hustling.
Hoofing it.
No, I mean,
canceling shows.
The power of
it. Damn.
His shows were canceled because they were too...
Because he was too popular.
He was too popular. Our shows were canceled.
Because we were not...
We were not popular.
Popular enough.
But he's aspirational.
Wow. Okay. My king.
Not what he did, but his selling out power.
his ticket sales power.
We need to channel John J. Hinckley Jr. in.
I wrote his name as R.J. Hinckley. I was like, kept seeing the headlines. I was like, who is this man?
Who is this queen?
Who is this queen selling shows left and right? Wait, did you read that the Joker sequel might be happening?
Mm-hmm. With Miss Goggs.
I'm nervous about that whole idea.
I think it's actually
a musical.
Could be kind of major. Gaga as Harley Quinn.
Yeah. I mean, she'll put her whole pussy into it, but a musical is where I'm like, I feel the need to draw a bound. I have like a lot of boundaries around musicals.
No, I get it.
And that's my own thing, I guess.
I think it could be, if you look at it from like the perspective of two like mentally ill people engaged in like a musical and their delusions, that could be kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm just like...
You're over the...
I'm just like, La La Land was too, like, recent. Well, and this feels... This is giving me, like, La La Land energy.
I could almost see...
Can she just, like, write some songs for it and then leave the musical element out of it?
I could almost see a Joker musical as less mentally ill than the La La Land of it all.
Yeah. I mean, La La Land was peak psychosis.
It was just peak, like, actor, like...
I've never...
Dreams of L.A. It's like, no one... If you're dreaming of L.A., it's like, okay.
I've never been more activated by a movie.
I just was very triggered by it because it was like... But I have to say, when I saw La La Land...
You loved it.
I didn't love it, but I was like, damn, I need to move to L.A.
Oh, my God.
And then I did.
I lived in L.A. and I was like, I'm going to fucking kill myself. This movie, I can't.
After living here for 5 years, I'm like, if anyone, I'm sorry.
Never.
If anyone is, I could almost see people, I think the dream of New York is still more.
Yeah. Well, it's probably just wherever you live, the opposite is, the grass is always greener vibes.
I don't know. People move into LA though.
LA's trash. Stay away.
Yeah.
There's no room for you left here. Get out of here.
You're gatekeeping LA.
I am now at this point. Stay far away.
I checked in on my queen, Alex Kasani, the other night on Twitter, on TikTok.
How's she doing?
Amazing.
Yeah, she's fucking killing it.
She was on a pride boat, like a ferry ride, and she was just going, all those who said I wouldn't make it, bitch, here I am on my own yacht. And it's like a barge. It's like a ferry, and she's going, yes, bitch.
I love her.
She has died. Bleached eyebrows and bleached hair now.
Chic. That's what the girlies are doing now. They're bleaching their brows.
She's walking in like Versace.
Yeah, she's like a legit model.
Damn.
And like so funny.
Put her in a movie.
I know. Put her in the Joker sequel. That's cool.
Yeah.
Just can't really, like, don't do a musical to me. Don't put me through that. Don't. Unless it's like incredible, then I'm down, but I have no faith. And I'm saying this as a fucking Joker head. I think I loved that movie.
You did?
Yeah, legit.
Oh, can I finally watched House of Gucci. Listen, I had negative expectations.
I know. I feel like I know what you're going to say.
I didn't enjoy the movie, but I thought she was good.
Yeah, she was fine. Until the end where you're like...
Well, then it was like, why are you wasting... She was so like explosive and strong and like... on top of her game, and then suddenly she's like, you know, blubbering and like desperate, and I was like, I want
yeah,
see
it was
her.
Just a really bad, poorly done movie.
Adam Driver was
not good,
kind of phoning it in.
Jared Leto went full Kidman, decided that he was in a different movie completely, and he talked about oppositional defiant disorder. He was exhibiting that hard in House of Gucci.
Also,
what a missed opportunity that movie was.
Diane Kruger.
Who is she?
His girlfriend. The one he meets on the ski slope that he's like reconnects with. She put like a prosthetic nose on.
Oh, wow. Fooled me. I didn't know that till right now.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
House of Gucci. Salma Hayek also in another movie.
Oh, yeah. Forgot that she... Like, that movie was honestly... I think everyone was just like, okay, we're going to give Ridley a pass on this one and not, like, go all in on him.
I didn't finish it.
Yeah. I literally remember sitting down in the theater and being, like, 40 minutes into this movie and being like, what the fuck have I done?
I stopped watching it.
I still have 2 hours left of this hell. I should have left, but I just can't leave movies.
I stopped watching it and turned on Avatar.
Love that. I don't know where to go. I don't.
What else do you want to talk about?
I saw something when it comes to Pride that...
We're still in Pride, by the way.
It's still Pride Month. Will it ever end?
I haven't participated in one Pride event. Why aren't we... Okay.
What? Okay. I don't have... I mean...
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that Walmart has some merch, including t-shirts that say, Les is more. And Burger King is serving Whoppers with either 2 top buns or 2 bottom buns.
I love that.
And Postmates apparently partnered with an anal surgeon to tell you what food is best before anal sex.
Oh, bespoke. Yeah. Okay. Well,
if you really are so dumb that you need a surgeon to tell you what food you should eat before getting fucked in the ass, like, you probably shouldn't be doing anal.
Well,
like,
okay,
use
so
your fucking brain.
That was weird because Postmates did a collaboration with this Instagay who does like comedy videos that like I cannot access.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the menu for bottoms. And he did like a
what
funny,
was it? Maybe I don't know.
He was like,
salad?
Yeah, just like very basically like don't eat.
Yeah, like what? It's not that hard.
This guy,
you're not gonna eat like chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes.
This gay though, like he's hot and he has like hundreds of thousands of Instagram. He'll probably be like on SNL at some point. But all his humor is very like top bottom, ma 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 ma. And John Early, he retweeted the Postmates guide to bottom friendly foods, and he just wrote joining Westboro Baptist Church. And I was like,
that's literally how Pride Month makes me feel.
Well, I
and that is honestly, and I've been saying this, is at this point in the gay culture wars, the thing you can do to be the biggest ally possible to the gay community is to be homophobic. Like, well, that's what they are pushing you toward.
And I wonder if it's a concerted effort, like, if you're really, if I'm going, like, deep between the lines, like, what if there's, like, a concerted effort to, like, push the envelope so hard that they're taking it to a place of, like, top and bottom whoppers and, like, Skittles that are gray because they say the only rainbow this month that matters is Pride. Like, what if they're pushing it so hard that we just reject it and want to, like, ban gay people? It's like a deep state conspiracy for court.
I don't think that's what it is.
I know. I'm
but
making,
I think
that being
that
very
like,
facetious, let me just preface that. Like, that's a joke that I just said that. But
I think...
But they are going too hard.
It's too mental. It's only going to get worse. Well, the more mainstream... the more mainstream it is, the more losery it is.
But do you think that they're... Do you think they're trolling us at this point?
I think life is trolling us.
No. But do you think these like corporate, like Postmates and like Burger King, like, do you think they actually think like this is going to really?
I think they want money and they want gay people's money. And they think that this is the way to get money from gay people.
But no one's going to buy that shit except straight people. Gay people.
I mean, I don't do Burger King, period.
Well, do you think gay people eat Burger King? But I'm just going to say like gay, like just. Do you think this is going to make...
Pride is for straight people, ultimately.
It is.
Like, Pride Month is not for...
No.
...gay people.
And, like, just the way things are going right now, like, in our country, like, I mean, this is a bad month for the LGBTs. We've got people setting houses on fire with Pride flags. We've got people crashing drag queens reading to children. Like, we don't need whoppers that...
No.
Our power bottoms.
Why don't you make a donation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if it's like...
You know who my queen of Pride Month is that I've been thinking about her a lot?
Hmm.
Is in Sex and the City, I believe it's season 4, episode 16, called Ring-a-Ding, is the woman who appraises Charlotte's wedding ring and from Trey when she's getting a divorce. And she goes... See these earrings? I got my diamond made into baguettes because my husband was a faggot. And I was like, she's an ally.
Mm-hmm.
She's the ultimate ally. Pride is about her.
Mm-hmm. The straight woman.
The straight woman.
Mm-hmm.
And her diamonds.
Yeah, I just...
Dealing with her, that fallout of her gay husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, women who are married to gay men, straight women who are married to homosexual men are pride.
There was a lot of that in Sex and the City, in the OG.
But I think, yeah, it's just, I mean, yeah, I think that's really the bottom line is it's for heterosexual people.
It's for businesses.
Yeah. And I think it's like, anyway, but I agree. Yeah, the Walmart thing, that's pretty scary.
Yeah. I was just thinking like.
It's ghoulish. I love seeing like a, yeah.
Anyways.
Miss.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy, Unique Podcast.
Beverly Hells Angels. Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, you're a bitch.
I really want to go to Punta Mita.
Yeah, it looks nice.
It looks really nice.
Is that Baja?
No, it's more like Puerto Vallarta. It's like a little bit north of Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, okay.
But it's like luxury, yeah. Four Seasons vibes.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot they'd been there before.
I always forget that Kyle Richards is married to a Mexican guy, mm-hmm. and that she speaks Spanish and like goes to Mexico often.
A Mexican Jewish man.
Yeah. Oh, sexy.
Really sexy.
May we all be so lucky.
Yeah, Kyle is like the queen. She loves.
She's the queen of Mexico.
She loves it. High crimes and misty demeanors. I just wrote, Kyle loves being in Mexico.
Yeah.
I also wrote, I still can't believe Rinna is on a girl's trip 2 days after Mummy's passing.
I get that. I'd fucking go. Yeah. What are you going to do? Sit around and be bummed out?
Maybe.
Like her mom died like a week ago or something. Yeah. I mean, I get like, I understand wanting the distraction and wanting to like go and.
I mean, Bethany did that.
I honor that instinct. Yeah.
On Scary Island.
Yeah. And Kelly Bensimone said she was creepy for doing that.
Mm-hmm. I'm like Kelly.
I mean, what? I mean. I understand like wanting to just be in a hole, but at the same time,
what can you do?
Like they're dead. I mean, what?
Oh, apparently Carol Radswell's ex, that like young chef,
Adam,
was like going in for Kelly at some party.
What do you mean?
Page Six reported that he was like all over Kelly Bensimone at something.
Whoa. I hate that. There's a tequila tasting that they're like reminiscing on that happened in the night before. And the woman who's hosting it is like holding up a bottle and she goes, there's viper venom in this one. And you hear Rinna go, what? And then EJ goes, viper venom.
Viper. EJ is.
She's starting.
Rock bottoming.
The preview for next week's episode.
Is everything I need.
I know. I'm. EJ's turning it up. She's like.
I love her.
Yeah, it's giving.
Kyle, in the flashback, you hear her about to take the shot, and she goes, cheers, everybody. And I was like, Kyle gets possessed by Big Kathy when she's drunk.
Mm-hmm. EJ says, certain things you don't downsize on, and that's glam. Some people want big families. Some people want to buy lots of nice clothes. And yeah, I felt seen in that moment.
We see all the ladies with their glam, respective glam teams. Mm-hmm. Garcelle's wearing Beetlejuice pinstripe kaftan.
Yeah.
I was not into this look.
Every so often, celebs are called and ushered to a place of Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm.
Which is
You're going to at least get one celeb doing like a Beetlejuice look every year.
Which
and unfortunately, in 2022, it was Garcelle.
I mean, you could go the way of like Catherine O'Hara in Beetlejuice wearing like.
Or you can go Beetlejuice in Beetlejuice. Yeah. Crystal says she would never pay for glam.
Shut up.
Yeah. I mean, like... but I'm also like, well, give it a few years, bitch.
Yeah, she's like, I don't get it. Like, why? It's just a lot of money and I can do my own makeup. Thank
well,
you
at this point,
much.
It's like also you're not making as much money as like EJ Global or Rinna. Yeah. You're not making as much money as the OGs. So they have like money to burn on glam.
So your husband's got Lion King money.
Yeah, but she, I like how it seems like she does run like a strict budget. And I appreciate that about Crystal.
Yeah.
But she's giving me a lot of things that I don't appreciate.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
So Sutton, the thing she said was that weird comment about seeing all the children in the hot tub.
No, we don't. We still will don't know.
Okay.
Because Crystal was on Watch What Happens Live and she at first kind of said that, agreed that that was what was said. And then she said that that wasn't what was said.
Well, apparently.
So no one knows actually the actual truth.
A few people have sent me some TikTok of like a teen.
Oh, yeah. The friend weighing in.
Being like, I think she was the best friend of Sutton's daughter. And like, yeah. They don't speak anymore because she said Sutton was racist.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But it's very vague.
It's vague. I don't think that anything was actually said.
Mm-hmm.
I either think that whatever was said was like too damning to Bravo and like broke the fourth wall in a way that they can't show on their show. So they're going to just pretend that it never was said.
What do you mean?
So I kind of shared this on last week's episode with Alan, but I was talking to a friend of mine. Shout out again, David, who was saying that he and his friends were like theorizing that maybe what Sutton said was like she was talking shit on like other Bravo housewives or cast members and said something problematic about someone else on Bravo. But Bravo won't show that because it's like breaking the fourth wall. And then Kyle's putting on her producer hat and just being like, I didn't see it, blah, blah, blah. But the reason why I think that that pool thing was not what was said is because Crystal said, Kyle, you were there, you were drunk. So she was talking about that night. And then the pool thing happened the next day and was only just Sutton and Crystal.
I think it was something
that Bravo knows about and won't do, or it never happened and Crystal's just trying to like divert attention and talk shit. And I'm leaning actually more towards Crystal's just like diverting and shit talking, and it got her in trouble.
The hot tub comment was strange.
Yeah, but it's just like, that are like that, like who would like say that kind of thing.
It's like cringe.
It's cringe. It's not meant as like, it's cringe and weird. Like you and I wouldn't say that,
like,
but I feel like a certain generation, especially like a Southern white woman, is like that to them sounds like very inclusive. Racially like appropriate and inclusive.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't, yeah.
EJ's getting her glam done and you hear, and she goes, who's whistling outside my door? And then Rinna walks in and she goes, it's me!
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I thought that was you. I love her just whistling around.
Whistling while she works,
and grieves. Whistle while you grieve.
I get it. I honestly stan Rinna. After reading her book, I'm just like,
this is it.
Yeah, no, I'm all in on Rinna.
Her ghoulish.
She had a strong whistle.
Yeah.
All the ladies gather for lunch on the beach, and Dorit comes down and...
Well, first it's Sutton and Crystal alone, making nice.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Dorit comes down, and she just simply cannot relax.
She's not been able
to sleep. She's, like, walking in. She looks like, every once in a while, Dorit looks exactly like Gwyneth Paltrow to me. And in this moment, she was serving Gwyneth.
Global goes, there she is, the hostess with the mostest. And Dorit goes, I simply haven't slept yet.
She just can't relax, no matter where she goes.
It's just so hard to lay in bed and just, I start having these mile a minute thoughts. And they're all like, and Garcelle goes, Dorit, we need to really help you out. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to get some help.
Tariq's like,
what are we going to do with you?
It's taken many a conversation with PK to just even stay on this vacation. I was like, good God.
Then go home.
Yeah. I mean, I feel for her, but again, like,
yeah,
as in the words of Sheena Shea, get over it.
Mm-hmm.
EJ is on antidepressants that are hitting.
She asked for some sugar in her, and she goes, azúcar.
And she reveals that someone called her a bully in court. She goes, I got called a bully in court today. I wear like a badge of honor.
She goes, I've been called worse, honey. They say I use bullying tactics like my ex-husband, Tom.
She's just going off.
Yeah, honestly, I believe that she was rung through the coals.
Yeah.
Rake through the coal. Like, I'm starting to, like, last year I was very much like, I thought she was like a little too callous and like maybe had some knowledge of it and just didn't care. I never thought she was the mastermind, but I thought she had some. And now I'm sort of like, yeah, I just think she like went insane last year because she was being accused of stuff that she had nothing to do with.
Yeah. And like,
I mean, she was flaunting it, and that's annoying in context.
It was the unapologetic nature of her demeanor and, like, attitude, I think, that really triggered people.
Which I understand, because I was triggered.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know what I would do in that situation either.
No, and, like,
that would really suck.
It's kind of damned if you do, but I think she could have handled it a little with more compassion. But watching her now, I'm like, yeah, I think she was just completely crucified.
It seems like she kind of lost something that she'll never get back.
Oh yeah, she's like, she's...
But I enjoy when
that... I love it. I enjoy
when that happens to people on TV shows.
I love what's been left behind.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Well, Sutton discloses that she and her friend, one of her gays, has decided to take the LSAT.
I literally thought and said this recently.
Mm-hmm.
I literally was like, I should take the LSAT, and downloaded all these like LSAT prep apps, and just was like, sometimes, because I've got really nervous about like brain health. So I was like, okay, what can I do that will like improve brain health? So I've been doing like lots of crosswords and like word puzzles. And then I was like, I should just do LSAT like shit, because that really ties your brain in a knot. And,
are
like,
you doing it?
I've been like doing it every once in a while. But I was like, wouldn't it be fun to just like take it? And what if you make a good score?
And you just become a lawyer?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of steps before you become a lawyer. You have to like then apply to law school,
yeah,
go to law school, all that kind of stuff.
And EJ goes, fun fact, Tom used to grade the bar.
He goes, Tom got a perfect score in the LSAT. He used to grade the bar. I'll help you study.
And they all go, well, that bodes well.
Garcelle's face. She goes,
yeah, he got a perfect score. He probably...
I believe he got a perfect score. Hmm. On the LSAT, that's different than the bar. The bar exam is what you take after you go to law school and you take the bar to become a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And then the LSAT is like you take that to get into law school.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I watched Aaron Brockovich on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fun to see the whole... I hadn't seen it in a while. They're called boobs, Ed.
Rinna's medium told her to look for the birds. And now she's noticing birds everywhere.
The medium says Lois will be appearing in the form of birds. So just keep an eye out, which is like, well,
they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Yeah.
But I did have chills.
Well, she said she keeps finding like bird stuff. And there, at one moment, Sutton just goes, her jaw drops.
Kyle goes, I believe it 100%. Kyle's always here for some, like, magic.
She goes, cheers to Lois. And they all go, cheers.
Mm-hmm. The ladies split off, and EJ...
Well, first she goes, cheers to Lois. And then Dorit goes, oh my God, Kyle, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was like, okay.
The ladies split off, and they're EJ, Crystal, and Rinna have a surf lesson. Diana like goes to go relax somewhere.
Kyle loves taking her a pony or like a bun and holding on to it like this.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just being, she's always so extra, like even just like wading through the water, she's going, oh, whoa, like just child star antics, and I live for it.
I love Kyle. And Kyle takes the other ladies shopping.
Marina's wearing a Giacomo bucket hat.
Ever the stylish, ever the style maven. Kyle's shopping kills me. They go to this store that has like a bar outside of it, and they walk in. You just see Kyle going through the racks. I'm obsessed with her because Kyle cannot go to a store and not buy a bunch of shit. Like, she is, and I really relate to her, like, compulsive need to shop and purchase. And she's like going through the racks and she goes, ooh, these are good caftans. And I was like, Kyle's love of a caftan cannot be tamed.
And you hear it off screen, which is the best part. You just hear, oh, these are good caftans. She loves like rifling through like a rack.
Yeah, she goes, moves really fast, and then she'll find something that's no doubt kind of hideous to buy.
And be like, this is so amazing.
And she needs it. And I was like, I honestly honor that.
And it's like $20,000.
So she wasn't the one that got the most expensive thing today.
There's also an artwork that says it's wine o'clock, which triggered me. Wine art, as
I hate,
you know,
any word art, honestly, is unacceptable.
Wine, all wine culture is just the font curls.
I'm also like, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
This is your alcohol. This is alcoholism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it wine culture, or are you just a full-blown alcoholic?
Horrific alcoholism. Mm-hmm. Sutton looks at a ring that to me is not a 5K. It's a $5,000 American ring made of crystals, and I just like wasn't really moved by it.
But it's a flex.
She goes, I'm gonna get it. Which is also me when I no doubt fall in love with something that's too expensive.
Back on the beach, Diana is a vision in pink Balenciaga.
She comes strutting in from literally God knows where.
Where was she?
I'm obsessed with her being like, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that, but I will go like change clothes and lay by a pool and I'll be back on my own time.
And hover.
ODD vibes.
She walks over and Rinna goes,
oh my God! Balenciaga! Balenciaga!
EJ goes, we just surfed. I got a scratch to prove it.
She goes, I can't surf.
I can couch surf.
I was like, queen of comedy. Like, literally, take your act on the road, honey.
She's doing it.
Back at the boutique, Sutton, they're like, how are you and Crystal? And Sutton goes, Sutton's a little drunk. And she goes, we are at zero ground. And they go, you mean ground zero? And she goes, yeah, zero, the first ground. Whatever.
I love taking it to a place of ground zero.
Miss 9/11.
You guys saw that.
We know.
And then EJ decides to go in and activate Crystal. And she goes, how are you doing, Crystal? She goes, last night. She called you a liar last night, baby. It's okay, baby. Stand up for yourself, baby. And like just starts saying this over and over. And somehow it works on Crystal. She conjures emotion that I did not know was there.
EJ completely in this moment, and he's like, horrific, like one of the, it's like beach bum sunglasses that like dudes,
I liked them, they're, yeah, like Oakley sunglasses,
yeah, they're very 90s,
I know,
but she fully brainwashes Crystal into like, she breaks her down, and then by the end of it, Crystal's crying into her shoulder, and I'm like, that's power. She goes, okay, Crystal, it's time to have the hard conversation. I'm like, god damn, she's good.
What do you think of last night? She called you a liar, baby.
And Crystal's
baby
like,
girl.
I know. And she goes, it's okay, baby. Stand up for yourself, baby.
Yeah.
She goes, I want you to fight for yourself, baby.
She's fully 1920s Hollywood vibes.
And it works.
Well, Crystal's also...
Crystal's looking for...
She's a manipulative victim.
Crystal is... I mean, Garcelle and Kyle say that at the
end.
Yeah,
and I was thanking... my lucky star. I was like, thank God someone's actually like speaking to what's going on, because even when she's like crying with Rinna, and
it feels forced.
I'm like, what are you so upset about? Like,
well, it's interesting that she's,
this is also the second round of this whole thing.
It's just interesting to me that Crystal, you see her, I've seen it in person, like with like groups of people, when you're like with people and there's like a fracture or something, you see Crystal being like, now I have to align myself with someone else, because she sort of lost Sutton and Garcelle.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, you can see her searching for some kind of anchor in this friend group.
Yeah.
Because it is hard to navigate like a new group. But she's so, it's very transparent, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, it's not new. You've known these people now, she was saying, even for 2 years. So it's like...
And of course, go with the person that hates your enemy the most.
It's very transparent what EJ is doing.
Come on, baby.
But at least she's being entertaining about it. And Crystal's just being fucking annoying. Like, I just am... It is really annoying to me when people can't own up to their mistakes and then just like cry about it or like act like victimized when she literally started this. I mean, Garcelle technically started it, but like Crystal was the one that like brought it up in the first place. And all she would have had to say is, I know I got nervous and just like said that shit about Sutton. Sorry. And then it would have been over. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's like this weird quadrupling down, continuing the mystery to this day, and then acting like she's somehow the victim in all of it.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
And Diana goes to Crystal. She goes, you live in LA. It's not an easy city. And I was like, I need Diana to call me every day and say, get off your ass and work.
It's not an easy city.
Isn't that true?
The word on the street is that Crystal had a falling out with 14 friends.
Brittany goes, I mean, come on. I don't even have 14 friends. And I was like, me too.
I was like, same bitch. But like.
That's crazy. I love that that specific number, you 14. Know, it. There's truth to it.
And if 14 people, if it's like you in a group of 14 people, I understand like you're going to, as you get older, you're going to have falling outs with friends.
14 friends. But
14 friends turning against you, I think you might have done something wrong.
I've probably had like two or three falling outs in my life.
Yeah.
Like, if three.
And like, or like things that go into a state of disarray and then there's like a build back to something different. But like 14 people that I know and are like my friends have not decided all collectively like...
Well, I'm talking like a falling out, like there's a difference between just letting like friendships, some friendships just fizzle out, like it's just time.
I'm talking about conflict that leads to like no more speaking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, cutting you off, that kind of thing.
That's like your entire friend group and everyone you know being like, we don't fuck with you anymore.
But Sutton, back at the boutique, this moment I was like, Sutton, shut up. She goes, I really want to help Crystal be a better person. I was like, okay, now you need to, that's
also, you don't, it's like, you don't have to do that either. Like,
no,
I wish that Sutton would just be like, she also.
Sutton's a little manipulative too.
She is.
She's very manipulative.
She's infantile. That's what bothers me about her is like, she kind of defaults. And I think that this is like a thing that a lot of women do is like defaulting to this like infantile, like little girl vibes. Well, and that freaks me out too.
Sutton is Southern Gothic. Like, she's seen, she has a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But I find her to be honestly kind of as manipulative as Crystal,
but
just
I think
in a different
like,
way.
Yeah,
she's cunning.
And I think she's more authentic in her manipulation.
I almost think Crystal's more, because she's so transparent in it, I actually trust that more than Sutton being like, I just want to help her.
Oh, see, I think that Sutton's more transparent because like so clearly like, it's like, no, you don't. I wish that Sutton would just be, I guess like, I think it's Sutton is so much more obvious, I think, about it where it's like, I just want her to be like.
They're both obvious.
Yeah, but Crystal, I think there are people that are, I think that there are a lot of people that buy it. I wouldn't even be surprised if there are like more fans of the show that are like Team Crystal versus Team Sutton. I'm not necessarily, I'm like intrigued by both, but Crystal terrifies me.
EJ, at this point, she goes to Crystal,
honey, I'm not going to let you quit.
And I went, bitch, you're blackout.
She goes, all I know is I need another drink. And Crystal goes, I'll go with you. And they go to the bar. And then EJ just like leans into her as Crystal's weeping at the bar.
First, Crystal goes, am I just an easy target? And I was like, Crystal, come on. That's when I was like, all right.
No.
And then EJ just
goes, second it's like crying on the beach when someone says that, it's like, get a grip.
I actually think EJ weirdly is being more genuine in this moment, because she's just like, even though it's like, I know what she's doing.
She's projecting her own issues, though, completely onto Crystal. Like, this has nothing to do with, like, the turn on EJ Global last season, but EJ's like, you just tell your truth, baby.
She's talking about herself.
Yeah, she's literally just like, yeah, it's
hilarious.
Unwell. And then finally they get their drinks and they're like sitting at like a little table by the bar, and EJ just goes, she goes like this, cheers to your resolve. And like she just thrusts her arm in Crystal's face. I was like, damn, keep drinking though. I love
it. But I've been in situations like this, like at a party or like a friendship or like someone.
There's always someone.
Someone is like, I've been on the receiving end of someone like, or just been like proxy to it, of someone who's in a fight with someone else, and then they just like take the gravity with them, and everyone's sort of following them around, and like as they cry, and like, and it's like they're just comforting them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this walking parade of pain, and it's really interesting to watch. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's like animalistic almost, the way like in a group scenario with humans, like when there's it's like
the group dynamic is like very hive.
Mm-hmm. Especially around stuff like this.
Well, it's interesting,
like, conflict and like who, and like trying to decide like who is the victim and who is the aggressor.
People always, it's interesting to see, there's always a choice of like where allegiances go. Like people always find their person to align with and mm-hmm. like buffer up. And in this moment, it's Sutton and Crystal. And so it's like, who do you choose? And it's really interesting.
Yeah. And like the fact that neither of them can really, I mean, they are very similar in that way, that neither of them can control their like histrionics around this situation.
Mm.
Like, I think Sutton does a really bad job of like keeping her shit together. And
well, Sutton cries when she's just not getting her way.
Yeah, or like tantrums. And Crystal cries and Sutton tantrums.
Sutton tantrum. I mean, even in that, I mean, I would cry too if I was going to Teddy Mellencamp's like anorexia camp. But when she's sitting in the car going, I'm going to cry. Like that was, it's all very like mm-hmm. histrionic. And like, I seen that. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, by the way, she gets like, she has bugs in her room or a lizard or something.
Mm-hmm.
She's continues to be visited by the plagues sent by Carlton.
Yeah.
Because Carlton did on her computer write plague mm-hmm. and larvae.
Larvae. Kyle never will escape from Carlton's clutches.
Kyle FaceTimes Rinna and Erica, who are literally flotsam and jetsam.
And they are both tanked, I truly believe.
They go,
she goes, what happened? What was going on? How is everything with Crystal?
And Rinna goes, well, she cried and cried and cried. And then it
she
echoes.
Goes, she just, it's so weird. She just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried.
And then they flash back to it. You hear Rinna's voice echoing, going, cried and cried and cried.
That was an incredible editing job. And you see EJ and Crystal sitting there, and she goes, wipe your nose, Crystal. And Kyle goes, oh my God, well, what was the worst part of everything for her? And then they go, we don't know.
And they're sitting together. It's this beautiful moment. I posted it on our Sup's Instagram today. It's this beautiful moment of the two of them. Look it up.
They truly...
It's a painting.
These are the best moments too, because it's like... It's just like these people don't, they don't care about Crystal. You know what I mean? They're not listening to anything that she says, and they actually don't really know like what was going on with her. And I love when housewives get asked that, and then like the truth really comes out.
Yeah, I don't think they remember it. I think they were both,
she's sad.
Well, I love these moments of when they're on a trip and they've been day drinking, and it's these moments like the disco nap period
mm-hmm.
where they're just kind of lounging. And they're coming out of a blackout, but also going back into one.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, this is gorgeous.
Look at her face, Rinna.
We don't know.
We don't know.
She cried and cried and cried and cried and
cried. Cried and cried and cried and cried. And they go, Rinna goes, EJ, what are you wearing tonight? And she goes, mint pumps. Mikey's there, of course.
EJ ends up dressed like a cross between Valerie Cherish and Jim Jones.
She was totally Jonestown. I was listening to Jonestown.
But the first, the top was Valerie Cherish's tracksuit.
It was.
The same exact colors.
Aunt Sassy.
She was Aunt Sassy. And
I don't want to see that.
Aunt Jones.
Ms. Jones.
Ms. Jones.
So she was Jim Jones. Like
she was Jim Sassy.
Like Jim Sassy 1 month out before like the big finale.
Yeah.
With just huge sunglasses. And a little
her hair's on. Looking fucking fierce though.
They walk outside and she goes, "Hello, moon."
Diana descends on the table in a full gown. Amazing. And like a Grecian updo. Tony?
Rena from across the table goes, "Diana, tell everyone about..." She's a little drunk. She goes, "Tell everyone about room 23. Which is, by the way, like, it's like, you know, it's the coffee table book we talked about earlier with featuring all the women, including Rena, but there's so many people who do these vanity books where it's like a lot of gays who are like insta-gays and just have like 500,000 followers and just basically are posting like their puckered holes on Instagram, which is go off, whatever. But they all, there's so many gays that post that come out with these like coffee table books of just them being like room 68. It's just them like in like some hotel in like Midtown just being like, "Oh."
And yeah.
It's like, shh, room 27. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It was like, well, it's like Kim Kardashian's selfie book.
Yeah. Room 20. And it's just them like sprawled out in like a hotel bed, just being so sexy and tired.
And like the tea on Diana's room 23 book was, I guess, that like it actually was more of a catalog for all these women. The rumor was that she was a madam and had like a harem of women that she was helping like prostitute out to like wealthy men or sex partners, which I'm like, go off. But then
she
took a dark
it.
Turn when people were like, she's a sex trafficker. And so in this moment, she's like, "I don't want to talk about that book. I feel like we've already had this conversation." And then she's like, "It was a dark time that almost destroyed my life." I was like, damn.
Yeah, I mean, she addresses it, which I thought was kind of cool. But she says, she brings up, she vaguely mentions the Hollywood Tattletale blog comment.
I kind of wonder if, I don't know the timing of these allegations, but my instinct was to look back, and I haven't, but maybe a reader can tell me. I wonder if they came out around the same time as her divorce or like shortly after, because it does seem like, oh, a husband's like calculated campaign to like smear her image or make her take her down. In which case I say fuck you
man. But I like the idea of Rena being like, "I want to be trafficked."
Rena just wants any chance to like show off her bod and her tits.
Yeah.
Because she said breastfeeding sucked the life out of her boobs and she never felt less sexy after her second baby was born. And so she had a boob job and it totally changed her life and her sex life.
Amelia Gray, we're looking at you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Come to do like an energetic clearing on this table.
Mm-hmm.
And they blow a conch shell. Well,
Kyle's child star comes out again and she goes, oh, what ceremony?
And they put a lot of like sage smoke around them, and then someone blows a conch. Like, is it a conch or a conch?
I think either.
Someone blows it, terrified. Dorit's taken right back to a place of robbery.
She goes, goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
And then EJ goes, it has a very interesting tone to it. And I was like, honey.
She's on GHB.
Yeah. And then they dig into the Crystal versus Sutton of it all.
Garcelle is just, she looks amazing.
Yeah.
She is so good at commanding a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just saying all the things that everyone else is afraid to say.
And they respect her for it.
She'll just be like, I don't know. What did she say?
Because she's not wrong. Well, EJ keeps, it's like, EJ's like coaching Crystal on what to say and like won't shut up. And finally Garcelle goes, Erica, you're bugging the shit out of me.
I know, that was so.
Will you just let her talk and like stick up for herself? Because the whole thing was like, Crystal just can't stick up for herself in these moments. But instead of actually saying anything, Crystal lets other people fight the battles and then like cries in the corner.
That was an amazing moment. Yeah. Garcelle's like eating something and she goes, Erica, you're fucking annoying. And Erica goes, why
the shit out of me.
She goes, why wouldn't I get in the middle of it?
Because I wanted to speak a truth. Speak your truth, baby.
She is Jim Jones.
She is. Sassy.
Mother, mother, mother. Lay down your life. That's what he says.
That's what you've said about her before.
Oh, I have.
Mm-hmm. And she, it came true.
It came true.
Sutton.
Wait, did you know that Anne Hathaway and Jessica Chastain are going to be in a movie together about warring?
Yeah. I see the pictures from that set. Anne's really accessing various emotions. It promises.
It's giving.
It's giving. It's giving cry face from the girlies. And I like that.
Mm.
Diana, I guess, tries to like come to someone's defense. I don't know really what she said, but it really triggered Sutton.
Sutton then like goes in on Diana, and I was a little like, all right, Sutton.
Pump the brakes.
Diana's not the one.
The thing is, if Sutton really didn't say something incredibly dark and like racist, like Crystal was inferring, and...
She's sure acting like it. She's acting a little...
She's acting... It's just like...
It's a little strange the way she's acting.
But I think also she's really fearful of getting canceled or fearful of consequences and fearful to just say, like, I don't fucking like Crystal. And this would be the moment that, like, she would be absolutely justified in having that take. It's okay to be like... Yeah, I don't like this person.
I don't
like the way she's acting towards me. And she's starting a bunch of shit. She's talking shit about me. And I don't fucking vibe with that. And I think it's trash. And like to own that confidently would be great to see. And she wouldn't then have to freak out on Diana for no reason and then like stomp off and have her temper tantrum.
But if she's worrying about if her just not liking Crystal because they just don't mesh, if she's worrying about... If she's being this fucking weird and extra and worrying about getting canceled, then it's like she does have a very problematic way of thinking. Like she's like, I have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's also like, I feel like some people are really sensitive about that kind of thing. Like, and it would just behoove them all to just be like,
straight up.
Yeah, just speak your fucking truth. Like, it's fine to not like someone that fucking spread a rumor about you that's not true.
She says to Diana, she goes, I am a
very good person.
And Diana goes,
good person.
She goes, yes, you've said that already. And I was like, oh.
Diana, what I'm witnessing here is a bacon-eating vegetarian. She contradicts herself over and over again.
I would not want to piss Diana off.
No.
You will wake up with...
I want to be room 23. I want to be in her stable.
Going, you want to be
I
like
want
this.
To be tits out in the room.
I want to be in room 23. I go, shh. Peeking behind a shower curtain.
Mm-hmm. Which is one areola.
I need a break. I need a break. Fucking break.
Kyle goes, would you like me to go to the bathroom with you? And she goes, yes.
Kyle was literally born to go to the bathroom with people and talk them off the cliff.
And you hear, you see just a shot of like the one half of the bathroom. They're not featuring Sutton and Kyle. And you just hear like commotion from the other producers. And you hear almost sounds like something being thrown. And you hear Kyle going, Sutton, Sutton, stop. Oh my God. Oh,
Sutton, take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath.
Last night was way. I love it when Kyle gets like
sister,
and she does this sometimes, and it's very like it's her way of almost breaking the fourth wall, where she's like, "Last night was worse than tonight," and you're freaking out. Like, get it together. Who did she do that with?
She said, "Get a hold of your." She grabbed someone.
Did she grab Sutton and say that?
Yeah, last season
she's always having to tell Sutton. She's going, "Get a hold of yourself."
Yeah, she said it was very like mom,
mm-hmm.
or like friend's mom in like the church pew telling you and your friends to.
That would whip me into shape.
Yeah, whenever you hear the
good old
gritted teeth.
Yeah,
stop it. Be a woman, she said. Be a grown woman. That's what she said.
Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath, and then Garcelle goes. EJ goes, she goes, Diana, you did nothing wrong. I love you. And then Garcelle goes, oh, you guys are all too
much. Oh, God. Well, because now Diana's crying. Diana's weeping now and hiding behind a napkin. She just holds her napkin up and she starts crying. And like she's like, am I crying? And then is weeping.
Diana's
and
that's giving.
Yeah. But I'm also like, everyone's
drunk.
There's something in the air because everyone's crying today for literally no good reason.
And Garcelle does what I would want to do is just continue eating and being like, oh, you guys are all out of your fucking mind.
I'm obsessed with Garcelle's reaction to everything because that is very much me of just like, my God, what's wrong with you people? And I'm also obsessed with Rinna, who's a say absolutely nothing. Picking at food and just leaning back and watching it go down and like nodding.
Looking for birds.
And EJ, you did nothing wrong, Diana. I love you.
And Diana kind of even then is, she's kind of like, okay, I don't really know you. And then Crystal leaves.
Crystal, then she just can't take it anymore. So she gets up and leaves to go have, or no, Diana's like, is my makeup fucked up? And then Crystal's like, I'll go with you to help. And then she and Dorit and Diana, that was like the three sirens, aka the three victims, go to go swan over and just really try and get their shit together.
Dorit straps on her horse hooves.
She goes, as someone that's been through a recent trauma, I know exactly what Crystal and Diana are going through.
And then back at the table, Garcelle and Kyle are completely united in their belief that Crystal's a victim.
They've got the read on Crystal.
Garcelle's the first one to say it.
Yeah.
And Kyle goes,
they've got
yeah.
her number.
Well, I was like, this is very Kyle. I see Kathy and Kim and her as dynamic, and I'm like, I know that Kyle knows exactly what this is like. Mm-hmm. She's grown up with, you know what I mean? Like, she probably has both. Like, when you're the youngest, you've played the victim. So like you know when
you
someone's
see
doing it.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they are basically just like, she's trying to manipulate. She's sitting there not sticking up for herself. And then she does this thing to make it look like everyone's attacking her when she really started it. So
it's
I loved that. And then everyone comes back to the table and Sutton continues on her like gracious extension of friendship despite the betrayal narrative. She goes, I'm willing to look past this and start over again. And I'm willing to build a friendship.
She goes, can you say that to me right now? Can you say you're... And then Crystal goes, okay, yeah, I'm willing. Okay.
Crystal just has an amazing way of delivering a line with this smug attitude of like her smugness about something is such a put down.
Mm-hmm. She's talented.
And it's talent. Because she's the only one on the show that does it like that, where it just makes me so mad. It's like, cool girl, like, I see you and you're acting crazy. And she knows exactly what to not say to make you get mad. Like, she purposefully is like, doesn't say what Sutton wants her to say. And she knows it. And she knows Sutton knows it. And no, I'm just like, people that do that, I think I do that to some people sometimes. So I see that shit. But I'm like, ooh, girl.
I have to say, the other girlies aren't doing it like Crystal in that regard.
No, they don't give that.
She's giving.
But also, it's like, stop crying.
Everyone needs to stop crying.
Everyone needs to stop crying.
Everyone needs to stop crying.
I'm obsessed with Sutton going, I'm willing. This is like this is the moment where you just go, I don't like you. And we're not friends anymore. Have a great life.
And I'll be it'll civil be with you, yeah, and we'll be on I'm the show down. Together.
Like, I'm not going to come for you, but, like, you're done until you prove otherwise. And instead, it's like she's trying to be something she's not, so it rings untrue. But I love, I'm willing to just start over and build a friendship. And Rinna goes, lovely.
Rinna's, like, in grief mode, just kind of like, and then next
and
week's
episode. And she's also, like, knows that that's bullshit.
Yeah. And next week's episode, Erica has, like, a boat moment. It's like this.
Erica is fully, she's in starfish mode.
She's babbling to herself, and even Rinna is going, I don't know what to do about Erica. She's so drunk.
Has anyone gotten just shit faced like this on Robeach?
Kim. Taylor.
Oh, yeah. It's maybe we're heading into addiction territory. Also, you're just not really supposed to drink on antidepressants. Certain ones are worse to drink on than others.
I mean, Taylor was in a suitcase.
Yeah.
Kim
was an alcoholic.
Kim poked her head out of a sunroof and grabbed a bag of bird poop trash and then opened it up to say,
I forgot about those iconic ladies.
What's in here? And that guy that she was dating goes, Kim, don't touch that, Kim.
Remember when Kim sprayed perfume in her mouth because she thought it was breath freshener?
And she's been doing it for a while. Do you remember when Kim was just appeared on a balcony in Paris, and Lisa Vanderpump says, Kim, how long have you been here? And she goes,
I've been here for days.
And I was like, you have.
My queen. Guys, we have huge news, which is, starting next week, we're going to be recapping Real Housewives.
Ultimate Girls Trip. The Berkshires.
The Berkshires.
Woo!
We're going to be going Berserkshires. I'm so excited.
We're going to Bluestone Manor. Come with us.
Come with us. So it comes out on the 23rd. No?
Yes.
Eh? Which is a Thursday. So that plan is to record on Fridays and release later in the day on Friday. So starting Friday the 24th.
Get with it.
Yeah.
The girlies are in Berkshires. Dorinda and Vicky are feuding like no other. She's been doing lots of interviews where she said Vicky sent her hundreds of text messages and she has not replied to one single one. And she said, I'm sorry, she's a mess and she dates people who fake cancer.
Where's the lie? Obsessed with the recent Keith McNally revelation that he and Dorinda were torrid lovers at one point.
And
that was honestly power.
And I did a reading of it, and guess who followed me?
You got the Keith follow.
The
coveted Keith follow. Many blessings. I love him.
Free lunch at Balthazar, hopefully.
He's truly one of the best people on Instagram to follow.
He's out of his mind, but
he
I love it.
Is like, it's Garcelle level where he just says whatever the fuck he wants. And I honestly respect that more and more.
Miss ODD.
Honey.
But yeah, get with it. We're so excited. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah. Next week. I'm just thinking about the release schedule. Next week, the first time you'll see us is on Wednesday. Also, guys, we are releasing full video episodes of bonus episodes now. So every Wednesday, not only do you get an audio bonus, you also get a video version of that bonus if you are at the $10 a month Patreon tier. So I don't know what you're waiting for, because it literally is the best tier to be at.
10 to the 10 to 10 to dollar on Patreon.
And then eventually we will be releasing more videos to that tier as well. But right now it's weekly bonus episodes. Sign up. Patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And love and light.
Ciao.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.